Do you have a particular pen that you like?
Yes, it is the Pilot G2 1 millimeter, the full millimeter. I don't even go for 0.7.
You go for a full millimeter? That's thick.
Mm-hmm, it is.
I'm a 0.5.
Looks like you're writing with a quill.
Let me see that. I want to experience that when you're done. I use a 0.5 pigment.
That's thin.
Not to me, but yeah, you know, 0.5 is perfect for me. Pigment liner.
Yeah.
I use a pigment liner.
Pigment
liner. Familiar with a pigment liner?
Pigment liner.
I'll let you try mine out afterwards.
I've tried them.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. I've tried all of them.
I was using the Ralph Nader pen for a while, the Flair, the Papermate Flair. It's a felt tip. He swears by it. I like it.
It's not bad.
It's too thick, though, for me.
Yeah, that was more of a late middle school thing for me.
Yeah, Flair.
Yeah, before, you know, grew up.
I feel like a man should have a pen.
Yeah.
You know that he...
I always have one right here in my pocket, clipped to the, like, right by the fifth pocket of my jeans. And if I don't have it, if I forget it at home, you know...
How does that work? Wait.
If you don't have your watch, it makes you feel like you're naked. I feel like that if I don't have... If I reach into my pocket and I don't feel...
The pen?
Right.
How do you keep your pen? Right there? Clips right there?
Yep, anytime I need. And it's a click pen, so you just clip, click, and go.
Yeah, yeah. Does it ever jab you in the thigh? I feel like it would in that position, right in the pocket. It would jab you in the thigh.
No, it just kind of lies laterally along whatever this muscle, your thigh muscle, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But if it turned...
But it won't.
It would jab you in the...
It's clipped in place.
Okay.
Yeah. And my thigh muscles are so rock solid.
Yeah, it's just going to push it out of the way.
It doesn't even matter. You could
bounce off of it.
Yeah, you come at me with a sword and I wouldn't even notice.
You have really nice thighs.
Really nice thighs.
Doesn't he?
Every morning I wake up and work on my thighs.
Probably your best feature.
Is that yours?
That's mine. Yeah.
I pride myself on my thighs.
Well, I just want to try his 0.1. Let me see that one. What do you? You've got three pens over here. What are you, hoarding pens?
No, this one's dead.
That is nice.
I'm ready.
It's a gel.
It's
a gel pen. You can try it test drive a lot of pens over at Top Drawer on Milwaukee. You ever been over there?
You just go, you try the pens out?
Yeah, you can test drive all the pens.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I would love to do that.
Yeah, well, we should do that.
Let's do a live podcast from there.
And we'll go get lunch.
Yeah.
When are we going to go out to lunch or something?
At Panera.
Hey, when's the?
I'll get us all noodles. We can have lunch here.
Okay, I'm not picky. I'll eat that.
Do you want butter on your cheese sandwich or just plain as God intended?
No, I don't. I'm trying to. I eschew cheese. I eschew it.
And butter for that matter.
Yeah, really. Earth Balance. I like Earth Balance butter. Do you have that? That's like
I don't have butter at all. No. Don't put shit on my sandwiches.
But I'll take some of that yakisoba noodles that you've got.
Noodles all around for the next one.
Okay. That'll be fun. Next week.
Why are you fondling that pear, compulsively?
Yeah, I just like having a pear in my hand.
Are you warming up for the afternoon delight?
Yeah.
Pear, P-A-I-R.
P-E-A-R, pear. I'm keeping my hand. You ever see, what was the book of Mice
Hunting.
And Men. Oh. No. What are you going to say? Oh, How You Like Them Apples?
Yeah.
No, How You Like Them Pears? No.
You have to have a pear on you at all times to feel.
Yeah, I like having, like, Rocky with a racquetball. You know how Rocky would have a racquetball?
Do you remember Mel Gibson, that film? He always has a copy of Catcher in the Rye.
Well, that's John Hinckley, who murdered John Lennon, always had a Catcher in the Rye. Mel Gibson had a Catcher in the Rye.
There was a conspiracy film. Do you remember
it? Conspiracy Theory. It was called Conspiracy
Theory.
Didn't
he always have a copy of
Maybe.
In the
I don't Rye. Remember the details of that piece of shite film. But
it was good.
It was? He was right, wasn't he? Like, he seemed crazy, but he ended up being right.
Yeah, yeah. He meets some woman, and she's like, wow, this guy's a whack job. And then it's like, no, they are watching him, yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho. Come on, we got to knock.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go long anymore. He wants to keep it under 40 minutes. So what are we at right now?
Keep it nice and tight. We are at 6 minutes and 47 seconds. Okay, we're at
No, I like
we're
this.
We're at 0.0.
Oh, we are? We haven't put any... None of that was on tape?
Well, it all is, but he's going to delete it.
No, you're not going to delete it.
Where do I start? I hacked 10 minutes out of the last one.
You did?
Mostly me, though. So you'll be glad.
Oh.
To
know. Yeah, I'd like to get into the editing room with you on the next one. See how you do it.
Blabbering shite. No, normally I don't cut anything out unless you've said something incredibly misogynist.
Yeah, I've never said that. Anything misogynist. I just don't like to personally attack people.
Yeah.
Feel bad afterwards.
No, I never cut anything out, but there was that last one was horrendous.
It was?
It was fucking horrendous.
It wasn't good?
Just lengthwise. Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah. It was long form journalism.
We were feeling that. We were feeling chatty.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's.
What are we doing first? Kinnison or the other one?
We can do Kinnison first. Okay. So are we not allowed to? Are we allowed any treacle in here anymore? We just go right to it. I liked Sam Kinnison's act. I thought he did a nice job with setups and punchlines.
I think we just have to be more cognizant when Christian puts the 10 minutes up. And be like, we've got some ground.
Well, he doesn't do that anymore. He's asleep at the controls over there.
Yeah. Not even
he's
awake.
He's too involved now. See, now that he's the third ring of the three ring circus.
I still do it. It's just I do it when I feel like we're starting to drag on a little bit.
Oh, okay. That's your way of saying, hey.
Yeah, come on, guys. Let's go.
Diarrhea of the mouth.
Yep. All right, well, I'll leave all this shite in. That's been like 10 minutes, right?
No.
But this has been the worst.
What?
Except for me talking about my thighs.
Yeah. That part Leave that in.
That was Leave that quality in. Content.
Hey, no, I wanted to know when the holiday party was for the Lincoln Lodge and whether I'll be invited.
I'll let Mark take that one.
Oof, I'm not being invited?
The party has been published.
It has? I didn't get it anyway.
Did you check your spam folder?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Check your spam folder.
Oh.
You'd hate it anyway.
Yeah, I don't really know everybody.
You'd be like a weird uncle that just turned.
I think you should
like,
go.
Yeah, maybe that can be the hook.
Yeah,
we'll just
like, who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah, I'll just say I don't know. He's a homeless guy. Followed us in.
Well, since I won't be attending,
I wish you act like he's a very integral part of everything.
Yeah.
You know that big picture at the end of the hallway at Lincoln Lodge of the guy looking off into the distance? That's him. He lost some weight, but that's him.
Yeah.
He lost some weight and he lost some Hispanic-ness to him.
Who are you talking about? What's the guy looking at?
There's a guy right out here. You know, one time I told Jonah that guy's name was like, he was like, who is that? And I said his name was like Johnny Directory. And I don't know why I said directory. It was just the first thing that popped. Never thinking he'd believe me. And he went around telling people that for 6 months.
Johnny Directory?
Johnny Directory. Oh, you know who that is? It's Johnny Directory. I don't know who that is, but Christian told me that's Johnny Directory.
I told you who it is, though.
You may have.
Who is it?
He was a short order cook at the original Lincoln restaurant.
Oh.
The painting was made for a sitcom pilot that we did.
You did a sitcom pilot?
Mm-hmm. It's actually good.
Yeah? What's it called? What's it about?
It's called...
Well, what's it about?
Basically,
I didn't even know. I don't think you ever told me that was a show.
Who was the star?
I would remember that.
Starred Peter Gross.
Oh, yeah, I know Pete Gross.
Yeah. The whole thing was there used to be this thing, a sitcom pilot competition, and a friend of mine came and said, let's do something. So I was like, yeah, we got the thing. So I produced. My mate Steve was the director. And then Andy Ross, Kumail Nanjiani, and Jared Logan co-wrote it.
Hmm.
And I came up with the idea of basically ripping off Britain's most beloved sitcom, Only Fools and Horses, the premise of which is Del Boy is a get-rich-quick merchant, and every episode is him trying some harebrained scheme to get rich quick. And it's beloved, but it's such a good premise.
I'm surprised they haven't remade that like The Office over here.
They may have done. If you wiki it, they might say. What the fuck was the thing called, though?
Well, I don't know, but The Office is Britain's most beloved sitcom.
God damn it.
Whatever the hell you said with all those were Fawlty Towers.
Did it even have a title?
I don't know. What are you looking at me for?
It's online. You can find it. Yeah, I'll send you a link.
Did you get any bites on that? Anyone want to snatch that up? You got bites?
Oh yeah, we got in like Pete Gross's agent gave it to some people, and all of a sudden we were in a
bidding war for this.
Well, so it was just typical Hollywood bullshit. You know, like someone started blowing smoke up her ass. Yep, 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 this is going all the way. So we had a couple of meetings and then this got mentioned and then it all starts to sort of tail off.
Yeah.
And what no one had told me is like in Hollywood, no one ever says no. They just ghost you because they don't want, they can't handle saying no to someone. And so we were taking meetings about this thing and this, that, and then all of a sudden, just disappeared in a puff of smoke.
Well, it sounds similar to something that's happening to somebody I kind of know right now. You kind of know them too, I don't want to say.
Adam Crocius in the sitcom Red Lines? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I mean,
have you seen that, the teaser?
No, haven't.
It's a story as old as time.
Sure it is. Sure it is.
Time. Beauty.
How do we get talking about this? What are we even talking about here?
Beauty and the Beast.
Oh. No, the painting. So the painting was made for the sitcom.
Oh,
because
yeah.
The premise of the sitcom was this shyster guy stumbled upon a cult and the cult leader had just died and he goes, ah, I can make myself leader of these gullible dipshits and use them to my ends for my get rich quick schemes. So the pilot was just him stumbling over these people and then ingratiating himself as their new leader.
And Pete Gross was the guy.
Pete Gross was the guy, the painting of the short order cook from the Lincoln Restaurant. He was the old leader, and they were having like a service for him, hence the need for the big portrait.
Ah, I'd like to see that. Send me the link to that.
Who painted it? Who painted the portrait?
Andy Ross, who does all, who did that.
Oh, really?
It is on your chest right now.
Wow, what a small world.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I got nothing else.
No? Nothing.
No, I got a lot.
Interesting happening in the last 2 weeks.
I thought when Kumail became famous, he might drag that sitcom pilot into a meme. Because
he liked it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it was an early calling card, but it never happened.
No.
Nope.
Maybe ask him. Hey, let's resurrect this. You can be the Pete Gross character. Was he in it?
Yeah, he was only as like an extra.
Yeah, yeah.
What was funny is we about all fucking died making it because where we filmed it was this. You remember when they knocked all of the Maxwell Street area down for DePaul? DePaul, like, massively... Not DePaul. What's the goddamn uni down there? Down Maxwell Street, south side. What's the university?
University of Illinois, Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, UIC. When UIC demolished, essentially, the whole of that area to expand, there was this church left standing. Right, and it had been deconsecrated, and I knew this guy that did punk rock concerts, and he was doing punk concerts in a church. Like, the band is on the fucking thing.
Is it on Western?
No, no, it's long gone.
Oh,
now,
okay,
no,
okay.
It was basically the last building standing in this area that UIC had bulldozed.
Okay,
and so we got to film there in January. 2 days before, you know, it's like minus 10 Celsius. The guy calls us and says, hey, just so you know, the heating is packed up.
What's that mean? It's off?
It's off because all the pipes are frozen, so we can't even turn it on. So he goes, you need to bring heaters. So I thought, how the hell are we going to heat this massive church? So we use propane burners. And the guy says to me, he goes, you got to be careful with this shit. Like, the fumes will build up fast. So I go, no worries, we're in this massive church, high ceiling, we'll open the windows, it'll
inhaling
just vent out. And it'll vent out, it'll be fine. Because, you know, building sites.
Is propane heavier than oxygen?
I don't know.
Jesus.
But anyway, what happens is I'm like, we'll have no problem venting the rooms. You know, it's a church.
You will, propane's heavier than oxygen.
Well, no, isn't that? The first thing when we get into the church, my mate gets out this big roll of bin liners and tells his AD or whatever you call them to start taping them over all of the windows because of light. You know, when you're filming, you can't have it get lighter. So he's like, tape over close every window and tape over it. And I'm like, uh-oh.
No ventilation.
Yeah, no ventilation. Now the only way for us to fucking stay warm is propane burners.
Ugh.
So we're zapping them, but P. people like started getting headaches. Yeah, and, sure. Like puking up and stuff.
Yeah,
I'm like, we got a choice there, guys. Indoors. We got a choice there. We can either keep filming and deal with this, or it's over. Yeah, and everyone did it. But I think everyone sustained some sort of level of brain damage through the weekend. But anyway, the pilot got made, and that's important.
That's amazing. I never every week on the show I learned something new about you. It goes deeper and deeper, right? Did you know this, that he made a pilot?
No.
Have you made any
no
movies?
Idea.
Nah, that finished me off, because what happened with the pilot was we made, I'm my own biggest critic. That pilot is good.
Wow. Right? You don't say anything's good.
No, I never say anything's good, especially shit that I've made.
Yeah.
It's good. And we were going to win. So the premise of the competition was, don't spend more than $5,000 on it, because that's what the prize is. So you can't spend
more than the prize.
$20,000. Yeah, that'd be ridiculous. So I said, you know, all right, I'm flush right now. I'll put $5,000 into this, which is bugger all when it comes down to it, really. So we put that into it. We enter the thing into the competition. Steve, my mate, is working with the woman who runs the competition, and she comes back with, oh, you're head and shoulders above everyone else, like, in terms of this, you know, an initial viewing. So we're like, yeah, we're the hot shit, we're going to win this. And I'm like, yeah, I'll even put the money back, we'll do another one, da, da, da.
Episode two?
Yeah, exactly. 2 weeks later, Steve comes in, and we'd started fielding calls at this point, like, with the Hollyweird. And he comes in with a face as long as your dick, and he's like, dudes, we're not going to win it. And I go, well, why is that then? We went from glory boys to not going to win it. And he goes, no, someone, they didn't get enough entries, so they extended the window, and someone has now entered an actual pilot.
With real production value.
They spent more than $5,000.
Yeah, he's like, it's a $50,000 thing.
Come on.
And it was written by...
Well, that's not the spirit.
Written by Tracy Letts.
Oh.
So, like, yeah, now you're back.
He's not known for comedy, though, Tracy Letts.
Well, this was a thing called Cop Show.
Mm.
I worked up a lot of hatred, but, like,
for Tracy Letts?
For Tracy Letts and a star of the pilot who I eventually met and was a really, really fucking nice guy. A famous, I'm not going to say his name, but he's like he's like royalty Chicago improv.
Royalty Chicago improv? Dave Pasquese.
You bastard. Yeah, okay.
Oh, wait, I guess.
I'll have to edit, yeah.
Oh.
So, like, he was the star of this pilot, and I fucking hated him.
Why do you have to edit that?
Because then I went to see Glengarry Glen Ross at Steppenwolf, and he's like one of the stars of it. And I'm just sitting there like...
Pasquese was in Glengarry Glen Ross?
Yeah.
Wow.
And eventually I met him at the lodge. He came and did a show as part of JFL. And of course, he's like the nicest guy ever. And he does this show where it was... some Paul Provenza thing where you got a word flashed up next to you and you had to improvise on it. But it had to be funny. And for some weird reason, he was like freaking out about it. Like, oh, I don't know about this. I don't think I've got the chops for this or whatever. Like, maybe, yeah. If there's anyone in Chicago who has the chops for this, it's fucking you, like king of the improv
scene. Yeah.
All right, all this is getting yanked.
Yeah, okay. Have you ever referred?
It was a good story.
Yeah, yeah, nice. Yeah, yeah. No, people want to know. You know, it brings credibility to the show that you're involved in some of the stuff. You know, otherwise,
and little Easter eggs, I think, around this place. You know, like the picture of the guy. I never knew who that was.
All right, I'm going into a quiet phase now.
Yeah.
Well, before you do, answer me this:
yes or no's.
When you're talking to other people in your life, right, have you ever referred to me as your mate? Like my mate in talking about me. Have I ever been referred to as a mate?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, how about him?
To downplay it. It's generic thing. You know?
Yeah, I never thought of myself as your mate.
What's the difference between a mate and bloke?
It's just a guy.
Bloke's just a guy.
Yeah,
just some right, okay.
Guy in the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm somebody's mate.
Just to be clear,
you are too.
Just to be clear, we have never mated, though.
No, not yet. Invite me to that Christmas party, though, and
you never
sparks
know,
could
you
fly.
Never know what could happen.
Get some of that. What's that new drink?
Oh, the ye old snow bollocks.
Yeah, give me that ye old snow bollocks. I'll be knobbing you off.
Noggin.
Noggin you off. All right, before we get started, one other thing. My wife, who's a big listener of the show, right? She's our number one
and
listener.
And in many ways, the only. Yeah.
Maybe, perhaps.
Who's to say?
She's like our Marianne from Brooklyn on the Howard Stern show. She suffers from a disease called GERD. Are you familiar with GERD?
No.
GERD stands for gastrointestinal reflux disorder, right? Mm-hmm. And all day around the house, it's like white noise to me. GERD. You know, she's doing that all the time, right? Drive anybody nuts, but I don't really hear it anymore. And because I don't hear it, it's like, you know, like how Chinese people can't hear the R sound after a certain amount of time. I can't hear GERD anymore. I don't even hear it. She told me that you have GERD, Mark, from listening to the show.
No,
you have gastrointestinal reflux disorder. I don't hear it, but apparently you do this.
From the clearing of the throat?
Yeah. You got bad GERD.
Hmm.
Sorry to break that to you.
Well, that's not good news to hear.
Oh, wow.
I'll look into it. It might be.
Have you ever noticed he's got the GERD?
I've noticed the clearing of the throat, but.
Never heard it before. Never heard you do it. Don't hear it.
But however, it always kind of coincided during episodes in which leading up to, I would know for just, you know, because I work here. That he had a cold or something like that, you know. So I always just kind of thought.
Oh, he's got
that.
A cold?
Yeah.
He's got GERD.
There was another time, right. But now that you're mentioning it, it does happen a lot, you know. Mm. So you can't have that many colds.
Now listen, I don't want you to get esophageal cancer, all right? So I need you to look into this, get on omeprazole, all right? I don't work for
Why don't you just get tested for GERD
or
first?
Or turmeric. Yeah, he's got it.
Turmeric, that's one of you can
it's
just make.
It's because I don't talk very often, and when I do it.
Oh, it's like a dry, because you're so dry in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might be all right this week, because this week, after Bill gave us COVID, well, me specifically, COVID.
Did you get it from me, COVID?
No, I don't think I really got anything.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you didn't sit.
Healthy as a horse with those thighs over there.
Yeah, right.
Well,
if you exercise your thighs out as much as I do, you can just walk around. Doesn't matter.
Immune to everything. Yeah, he's like a centaur.
Viruses, yeah, they can't get in.
You didn't sit for 3 hours freezing your bollocks off at a Wisconsin Badgers game, and that was the trick. Like, I'd been fighting it until that point.
But I heard cold can't make you sick. Only germ can make you sick. Weather can't make
you
sick.
But I think once the germ's in you, now you're fighting heat and blah, blah, blah.
Right, because the cold lowers your immune system. So yeah. your immune system can't battle it.
The
as
cold,
well.
Meaning the sickness or the temperature?
The temperature. You already have whatever the bacteria or the virus or whatever is already in you. Like, so no matter what, but if you get cold, it lessens your ability to battle that. It'll have more of an effect on you.
Why cold or extreme cold versus extreme heat? Does heat also lower your immune system?
No, but you can't get too hot either. I mean, you know, you have that's called a fever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, afterwards I got Manuka honey, and that was a miracle.
Manuka honey? What's that?
It's the one tea? I got was from New Zealand, and because I Googled. Last year, I always get a chronic chest infection once a year, and so I Googled, well, what honey is the best? Because have you seen how much fucking honey there is?
Yeah, everyone's selling honey.
It's like, come on, dudes. Honey is honey. You don't need 27 varieties. Mm. So I get, you know me, I get flustered when presented with too much choice. So I Google, I'm in Jewel, and I Google, okay, what is the best honey for fighting a throat thing? And it says Manuka. Raw Manuka honey.
They got that at Jewel? That sounds high-end. They don't get that at Jewel.
No, I mean, it's high-end expensive, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. And it did the trick?
Yeah, I'm not a big believer in medicine because I think so much
bullshit.
Of it is psycho. Like, give someone a pill and say, this will cure you, and how often does it, right? Mm. So I'm not a big believer in it. But I will say it did seem to do something.
Mm.
Now, was that in my head?
Yeah, maybe the honey is a placebo, too.
Yep. So, anyway.
All right, we'll look into that GERD for
this
us, right?
I'm worried about you. This show is brought to you by Manuka Honey of New Zealand.
And Begain Construction. If you're in the market for a backsplash or a home remodel, check out Begain Construction for all of those needs. You can find them on www.begainconstruction.com. Ask for Bill and tell him Bill sent you.
That took up 20 minutes of the app.
Yep. All right. Well, let me see my notes Kinnison. Here.
Oh, we're gonna. This is
Sam Kinnison. This is gonna be a quickie. Sam Kinnison.
Yep. I think I feel like.
Sam Kinnison's 1987, Breaking the Rules. Ooh, live from Hollywood.
I'm dangerous and I'm breaking the rules.
Yeah, I didn't even really think about how bad that title is. Breaking the rules. Yeah. Breaking the law. Breaking the. Who sang that song? Breaking the law.
Judas Priest.
Yeah. Breaking the law. Breaking the law.
I was thinking, what happened? I was looking up this cretin on the scene. Oh, no.
Cretin? That's like a cretin?
No, yeah. No, okay. I was thinking the other day, what happened to all the bad boys of comedy? You know, everyone
the bad boys of comedy?
Well, just the bad boys of anything. It's a very late 90s. There was a lot of bad boys of things.
Name some bad boys of comedy. Besides Sam Kinnison, obviously, is one of the bad boys.
I don't know.
Dice.
I
mean, yeah, Dice.
Lurie.
Andy Lurie. Dice. Andrew Dice. Dice Clay.
There's a lot of bad boys.
Bad boys. What makes them a bad boy? Because they shoot from the hip and they talk about bad about women.
They only wear black
they
clothes.
They wear black, yeah.
And they smoke on stage because it's the 90s. And they say what you don't have the balls to say.
Yeah.
I'm a bad boy.
Well, I never do research on any of these guys. I leave that to you guys. But for whatever reason, in the middle of watching the Sam Kinnison special, I was like, I got to know a little more about this guy. Because, of course, I know him, but I don't know the story. And apparently he gave birth to what you're saying, like these bad boys of comedy. Did you come across this too? Where I like to say people begat somebody, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Sam Kinnison begat, which I didn't know, your Bill Hicks, who you love.
Did
right?
you read the
and
quote?
He begat some other bloke.
Did you read the quote? The quote was from Bill Hicks, said, Sam Kinnison was the first comedian I saw that wasn't trying to make the audience like him.
Yes.
That's the key.
Yes. That's what makes you a bad boy. Right?
That's right. That'll do it.
Some people called me a bad boy of comedy.
Did they?
I think they just called you bad.
well, some people did.
Whack, whack, whack. Walked into that one.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to put myself in 1987. I'm a 12-year-old boy, right? I'm looking for this kind of comedy, obviously. I found it pretty bad. Not bad. Bad, but man, he comes out swinging, right, at people, women, really,
mainly women,
mainly all women. This is really just kicking women for 45 minutes.
I wouldn't.
There's not much, and gays. He takes a few swings at gays.
Yeah,
but,
he just throws that.
Yeah,
in
just
at the
because
end.
He ran out of, you know. Punching down on women, he ran out of material about that, so he kicked some gays.
Yeah,
around.
Some variety in there, you know.
Yeah.
I wonder how far after his divorce this, because you know he references like, you want to know what hell is? I was married for 2 years. And it's like, did you get divorced literally yesterday?
I tried to put the timeline together by looking at his wives. He's in the middle of a marriage in this one, but maybe he was separated. He was in the middle of his second marriage during this one.
So it's probably not going well.
Yeah. Ironically, though, one of the first things he says in the special after the intro with his mother, with his weird intro with his mother, he says, I love women.
Yeah.
Loves them. But then he really
just
takes them apart for the next.
Spends an hour disproving that.
Yeah.
You know what else makes him a bad boy? He throws the microphone.
That was great. He just knocks it over like,
I don't need this. Oh, wait, yes, I do.
Yeah, and then he had to pick it back up. Yeah. But then he knocked the stand over again after he took the microphone.
This is the part I don't need, actually.
That almost seemed hysterically comical. Like,
yeah.
Like, seriously, he was thinking, I'll knock that fucking thing over. Like,
yeah, fuck this. I don't need that fucking thing. Just stomps around the stage. And what has to be, to me anyway, I don't know, maybe there's somebody else, the most bizarre outfit we've seen any comedian in, right?
Yeah, that's a look.
Like the Flashers trench coat.
Uh-huh.
The beret, is it a beret? I don't know what that is.
Yeah, the cap.
The hat, the sideways.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, the
page boy cap or like a, what the fuck is that?
I got mixed up because I looked it up and I said, oh, I know why he used to wear a beret, because he had burns on his head, but that was little Steven Van Zandt.
Oh, is that why he wears the do-rag and all that? Yeah. He's got burns on his head?
I think, unless I've totally, no, someone somewhere.
I always wondered why he wears that. I just figured he was bald.
Someone somewhere in the world of entertainment wears a cap or and or bandana because of burns on his head.
I'll have to do that.
And I thought it might be Kinison, but it wasn't. Well,
maybe. Huh. Well, listen. Oh, maybe it is, you know, because...
Well, he's bald, though.
He's bald?
Kinison was... Bald? Had the mega fucking...
Hulk Hogan.
Mullet at that point, yeah.
But what I couldn't believe is, this is crazy, at age three, did you see this? At age three, he was hit by a truck.
Yeah.
And got brain damage. So maybe the it's not a burn necessarily, but the beret, that enormous beret.
And epilepsy.
It's not a beret. It's something else, whatever that
is. It's like one of those Irish caps, but it's bigger.
It's not a tam.
Right.
Yeah, but you're right. It's like a big tam.
Right.
Big fucking tam. It's almost like a Bob Marley dreadlock bag.
It's like a shower cap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a shower cap, but made out of clothes.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's covering his brain damage.
He stuck with that the whole way, though.
Mm-hmm.
What?
That the dirty man coat, didn't he?
Yeah, he kept it on the whole time, right? That's a signature piece.
Wasn't
then the tennis sneakers.
Yeah.
The tennis shoes.
Wasn't he discovered by Dangerfield? That's how he ended up in that movie.
Yeah, that was his big break, was at Dangerfield. Oh. He would hang out at, I think, the Comedy Store, and he became friends with Jim Carrey and...
Oh, really?
Yeah, somebody else.
They're contemporaries? That's hard to believe.
Yeah, I guess so. I thought it was kind of... Yeah, right. But then his big break was Dangerfield putting him up, and then he started appearing on on late night shows and stuff like that.
Well, I also read that he worked the door at the Comedy Store and developed a terrible cocaine habit.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, he was freebasing for a while.
Freebasing cocaine.
What's freebasing?
Really? Well, I don't know from experience, but it's smoking rock, basically.
Yeah, I've seen somebody
crack.
Do it. It's basically like when you put it on a spoon, or I think they might have put it on a pop
tin
can.
Tinfoil, or maybe.
Tinfoil, something like that, and they light it from underneath, and it creates a smoke, and you breathe the smoke in, and I guess the reason is like the effect is immediate and lasts longer,
Yeah, it's a quick...
Right.
It sounds good.
It's probably a blast.
I would like to try it.
Oh, dear.
All right, so...
Oh, and Hugh Hefner gets a shout-out.
I couldn't believe Hefner was there. Right? Like, I thought it was a joke.
I missed that part.
What?
Yeah.
You weren't paying close attention.
Actually,
what were you doing while you were watching?
Well, because I was rushing to watch it before we were supposed to record
today?
Last week.
Oh, last week.
Yeah, and so I could only get it. Remember the whole thing? I didn't have my laptop charger, so I got it on my iPad, but I got it on Daily Motion. And no matter what, no matter how many times I tried to start it over, it would only show the first screen that said Sam Kinison. And the first time I thought, because then the mother starts talking, right? The whole intro is the mother talking about Sam as a kid and everything. And I thought it was just like a freeze frame with her voice in the background. And then he gets into his act, and it was a couple of minutes later I realized, oh, I'm just not getting video. And no matter what I did to try, I couldn't get video. I only had audio the whole time. So I didn't see if they flashed to, who was it, Hugh Hefner?
Wait a minute. So you didn't watch this?
I listened to it.
Oh, you listened to
it? Yeah, I listened to the whole
thing. Without...
There was no video. I can only hear the audio. So, and I was here. So I just walked around doing the work I had to do while listening to it. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool. Wait a
minute. Hang on. I used to say I did that, and you said it sucked.
Well,
but that
I
was
would have the window up, but then be doing stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That was just perfect time. Like, you know, and to prove I'm not a misogynist. Here's Hugh Hefner as well.
Yeah, right.
Double down.
Yeah, he got a big standing ovation there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, what do we want to talk about here with this guy? I mean, he punches down on women, but the stuff. Did you like some of the other material, like about you know the Jesus stuff? I thought some of that was pretty good.
That's what stuck out to me. I like that when he was able to use his preacher background because he was a preacher for so long.
Yeah,
and he was able to use his preacher background to be like, you know, isn't this silly and isn't this silly? And it kind of goes back to a few times this has happened in some of our some of the more recent episodes. where comics have done something that we've seen a million times, but just did it good. You know, like we're saying, like Michael Che did that.
Yeah.
You know, and there were a number of others. That was one of them. And I realized, yes, of course, this was 1987. So it could have been, you know, an original sort of thought then. But I thought he did the religious aspect of how silly some of the stories are, like, you know, feeding the 5,000 people and, you know,
Yeah, he's got an interesting perspective.
He does, right? I thought that was interesting. That was actually thought provoking. That was actually kind of, it was clever. You know,
yeah.
That actually got a reaction of, ha, never thought of it that way. You know,
yeah, yeah. What do you think about the material? The material overall.
I just got a comment that says religious stuff - weak.
You thought it was weak.
Yep.
Well, I would say overall, right? There's you talk about like chopping down an episode, right? You could chop out 3/4 of this. It was a lot of it was just filler. It was just like him hemming and hawing or just, you know, walking around the bit for 10 minutes without like the whole bit at the end, the sex education licking a vagina thing, right? Like he could have said that there was maybe one joke in there in the 15 minutes, right? He was just talking about, I'm going to tell you, you want to know? They don't teach us how to do any sex education, man. I'll tell you how to do it. You want to know how to do it? Well, let me tell you, they didn't tell us anything like this when we were kids. We didn't, like, it's just filler. It's like filibustering without any real meat.
Yep.
I know that I can detect this because this was most of my act. I didn't have many jokes. It was just filler. Right, just talking and filling shit without any material. So, you know, him being in the, I wouldn't say he's on the Mount Rushmore of comedy, but certainly some people regard him as one of the great comics of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right? To go back and look at it, and that's why I kind of love what we're doing here with this show, is that we're kind of putting our arms around all of comedy, the history of comedy. I think the goal of this show should be for us to watch every single special ever made and then we're done. However long that takes. One a week, 50 a year. How long would that take? How many specials are there?
Should be done in 2.5 years max.
No. Well, how many comedy specials do you think are out there, filmed comedy specials? Not like movies, right? They're
you'd have to. I
there
mean,
weren't that many?
How
that
stringent are you? Are you going to say it had to be broadcast? Because anyone can just ship one out on Amazon now.
Now, but like if we just said, you know, going into the back catalog, there weren't that many. Probably 10 a year. But if you were to do albums, whatever.
I wasn't here, so I can't speak to that.
My point being that, like, going back and looking at something from 1987, someone who's so highly regarded, thought of as one of the great comedians, and then to really chop it up and look at it like this, it's like, he's not that good.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's definitely unique in many ways, right? Yeah. And maybe he, you know, broke the mold on this kind of comic and gave way to the Bad Boys of comedy. He was definitely pulling no punches in a way maybe other comedians were pulling punches, but the material blows.
Yeah.
Right? It's not great.
It's one of those things, though, where it's like, it's easy to look back now and say it's not so good, but, you know, when it's coming out and you've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's a whole different perspective.
But the material's not that good.
It's not, but how hype
the crowd was.
Yeah.
They were hype.
Right.
And I was saying to someone before the show, I was like, well, you know, you look at it and you go, wow, this is definitely misogyny tarted up. But there was a lot of women in that audience who were just screaming like fucking rock. You know, he references the twins in the front and this and that. Like,
what he says. I love women. Yeah. He's such a lech.
It's funny. It's just like, well, what were they thinking? Were they thinking at the time?
No, that's just how it was at the time. You openly bash women, right? And you know, there was more of a two-way street in that way, and in that. It made kind of like with Patrice O'Neill or who some of the others that we looked at, like where you could say things before that you just can't say now, right? You can't openly bash women, or you can, but it has to be clever or tongue in cheek. And this guy was just taking swings,
yeah.
Which I don't think, you know, he says how much he hates women and marriage is hell, and but like, he's married, right? He has a wife. He's, you know, he doesn't really think this. And that's what I miss about comedy. It's like, right, just going after people. So, you don't really mean it, but you're just going to go after them.
Do you think he's a character?
He's
a
character.
Playing
yes,
a character.
I don't know how much of a character.
Yeah, because I don't think I've ever, like, I've never seen him in interviewed or, you know, just like talk as a normal person off stage. I don't really know how he is in real life.
So I don't either.
How much of a character do you think the onstage person is?
I mean, it's definitely a character. Yeah, he's dressed like this. He's screaming. One walks around screaming, blah, blah, blah.
But how far of a departure do you think from his reality do you think that character? How much has he...
here's an interesting one. I thought about how old he looked. And he died at 38.
So it's like he looks 5 years before that. He's 33 here.
Yeah, I know. He looks like about 50 odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like, you know, 20 stone.
Yeah. I mean, he looks a fucking mess. And there he is screaming like, bitches. Literally like, Jesus Christ, dude. You look like a blob of shit.
In that sense, like, he's a character in the way he dresses and the way he acts. Yeah, yeah. But his lifestyle that he talks about, I think... Yeah. With the women, with the drugs, with the partying. That's not a character. That's real, right?
I thought it was pretty wild that the car accident that ended up taking his life was somebody else's fault.
It was
a teenager in a pickup truck. Crossed over the middle line.
Yeah, drunk driver.
Yeah.
Really interesting. Did you read about the eyewitness testimony at the scene?
Right? Oh, his last words.
He got out of the car. Right, he walked out, was seemingly unhurt.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he had hit his head against the windshield, and the passenger, the lady, she also hit her head. But then he just sat down on the curb and was like, "Ugh." But the internal injuries were so bad that like he quickly started to go and was like, "Why is?" And he said, "Why is this? Why now?" Like he was talking to an angel or something. okay. Like he was having a conversation with some kind of apparition.
I thought he
said,
"That's
crazy."
Yeah, I thought first of all he said, "I don't want to go."
Then he said,
"And then he said, okay, fine, or whatever."
Yeah, okay, then. And then he just fucking lights out.
I don't know if that's real. I think that might be myth.
Yeah,
you hear that? Yeah, like there's a Steve Jobs sings out Steve Jobs, his last words. Have you ever heard?
Same
sort of situation. Like he was just saying, "Oh, wow, I can't believe this is what it is," you know, like as if he could see some sort of afterlife. And, you know, of course, because it's Steve Jobs, people are like, "Oh, it must be something he can see," you know. And
because it's Steve Jobs, real.
Right.
You can really see them.
Yeah, but I mean, if Sam Kinison's having a conversation with an angel, I mean, he just smashed his head against the windshield. It might be that.
Yeah, he was just delirious.
He might just not know what's going
on. It
could be that, the head trauma.
Incidentally, famous last words, I don't know if we're going to keep going with this, but I read yesterday down a rabbit hole, Bob Marley's last words were to his son, Ziggy Marley, "Money can't buy life." Not very profound, I guess, but
you know,
that's the last words. Then croak.
Did he say croak?
No, he didn't say croak. But back to the audience.
He did say, "Yeah, man."
Yeah. "Money can't buy life, mon." "Mon." "Yeah, mon."
It's like, I wish you didn't say "Yaman."
Yeah. "Yaman." Have you ever seen one of those "Yaman" Jamaica t-shirts in the thrift? Grab that for me. I want that. But me and I'll get one of those.
Irie,
mon. Yeah, mon. When they did pan to the audience a couple times, it was very 80s, right? Yeah, like every time they panned, it would be like a guy with a mustache, looked like a porn star.
And a fucking woman with
Couvette.
And then he gets in a Corvette at the end.
Yeah.
Like,
X-Rev.
The final bad boy statement.
The Corvette. Yeah. I wonder if that was the car in the accident, not to be morbid, but... what about the screaming, all right? Because that's what he's known for, right? He begat other screamers, like Eddie Pepitonato. Like he
what?
Was he the first screaming comedian? Probably so. I don't expect you to know that.
I think he
kind of
set the mark for that.
But who did he give way to with the screaming?
Louis Black?
Louis Black? Adam Grotius?
Lewis Black doesn't scream, does he?
Sure he does.
Yeah. Rah, 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 that kind of thing. Yeah, you're right. That is, he is from the screaming school of comedy. Eddie Pepitone. But there was something in him.
It's like a school. Someone, two people.
Yeah, I know. I can't do anyone else called screaming.
Not another screaming comedian.
I felt a little Bobcat Goldthwait in there with him. Like the disheveled kind of frumpy. I think that's where Bobcat got his act. He just toned down the Kinison screaming and created this weird like. I don't know what the point of that is. He's not even part of the joke. He just goes Is that too loud? You had to
turn everything's red on this.
My wife's ears just blew out.
Yeah,
to hear about that. Does your missus still listen to the program?
I don't think she ever has.
Oh, I thought she did.
I made a passing comment to her as if she was an expert. I don't think she's ever listened to it, which is annoying because I could have been saying a lot of different things.
I know. I think she would learn a lot about you listening to this program. She knows you go to the Jewel and get the hot dogs, right?
Yeah. We might be at the stage where she doesn't want to learn things about me.
No, maybe, yeah. Together for so long.
Yeah.
The other thing I didn't know, this man's from Peoria, Illinois. Yeah. He references Illinois. Yeah. I'm from Illinois.
Well, born somewhere else.
He was born
raised.
Elsewhere, yes. Yeah.
Born in Washington, moved at 3 months to Peoria, and then in his teen years or late adolescence.
That's him and Richard Tulsa. Pryor.
Yeah. That's right? Those are two.
Him, Richard Pryor, and Matt Andrews.
Is it Matt Andrews from Peoria?
Yeah.
Shit. That explains why he's so good, Matt Andrews. Rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace.
He's born with his stomach on the outside of his body. His intestines were born on the outside, or on the outside of his body. They had to put him back in. Got a horrific scar.
Yep.
He did.
He was told, his mom was told, this kid won't live past 2 months.
Yeah. The dark part of his act.
Yeah.
It's strange, though, that Matt Andrews, Richard Pryor, and Sam Kinison should still be alive. Something about Peoria.
Yeah.
Leads to early death.
Have you been to Peoria?
Yeah.
Once.
I've been a couple of times for motorcycle racing. Yeah. That is like what's what I call an American Bruce Springsteen town.
Yeah.
You just drive in and you're like, oh, this is what he's singing about.
Yeah. Yeah.
We went to the casino in Peoria this summer when I went down there for motorcycle racing. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. Hard Scrabble. Group, yes. In that casino.
Actually, we didn't last that long in it because it was kind of crap. It was all these horrendously big fruit machines. They're massive now. You know, it used to be a little thing and you ding. They're fucking enormous. They go to the ceiling.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd think Peoria would be maybe the second biggest city in Illinois, right? But it's not. Do you know what the second biggest city in Illinois is?
Well, it's either Champaign or Springfield, isn't it?
No.
Normal?
No. It used to be Rockford, but it's not anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Rockford. Oh, yeah, I forgot about Rockford.
It might surprise you.
What is it?
Aurora. You know it's number three?
Aurora, to me, is still pushing the Chicago.
Yeah.
Because Naperville. Wayne's World.
Naperville, yeah.
Three.
That's also very close. I was at a gala, a charity gala on Saturday. Ooh. Fred Armisen was there, and he was doing a little Q&A with the audience.
Whoa.
What?
Did you approach him vis-a-vis the Lincoln Lodge and his connection?
Yeah.
No, I didn't talk to him.
Did you ask him about performing with me in the 2000 Comedy Fest?
I emailed him about it. He hasn't gotten back to me.
Did you ask him about the infamous fallout with Matt Dwyer over a woman?
I sent him a message on
Instagram. No, I didn't know that. You might need to edit that out.
You missed a whole lot of Fred Armisen chat.
I know. I should have talked to him more about you two.
Wait a minute. What is this gala you were at? Were you playing the piano?
No, I was. I was enjoying as a guest. Myself and a friend of mine goes every year. Mm-hmm. She and her boyfriend, and she had bought two tickets for Borky and myself to go with them this year because she believes in the charity so much. She wanted to spread it. She wanted to spread how much fun it was to the two of us. So we were able to go and enjoy an evening with Fred Armisen and Jeff Tweedy.
This is a high-end event.
Yeah. This is a $500 ticket.
Yeah. Something, yeah. Right. For those two, sure.
It was a good time.
Did they act together? Did they do something together? No, just separate, right?
Fred Armisen was on the drums for a little while with house Tweedy? Band, and Tweedy was playing. But they didn't like exclusively play a song, like two of them stage together. They were just kind of jamming at the same time.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I saw there was a woman in the audience who, you know, Fred Armisen does this whole act of going across the map of the United States and going fluently from one accent into another, like all the way from the Northeast Coast down the East Coast to the South. He
that's
loops
cool.
all the way through. Yeah, it's a great bit. He does it on, he's got a really good special about drummers, if you haven't seen it.
I've heard about it. I heard it's amazing.
He does this on that special. It's great. And so he did that whole bit, and when he opened it up to people at the end, just for, you know, questions about this or that, and everybody had really good questions, and I mean, he was donating his time to be there. Like, it was very understood.
No, he wasn't?
No,
this particular one, everybody there does donate their time. They make it, like, very clear. Like, this is, it's everything's donated. It's, Even the chop shop that had put it on donated their space and everything for this event.
What's the Armisen Lincoln Lodge connection? Why you got a gas face? Like you just farted.
Because I went to do a high end fundraiser once myself, and I was quoted
to perform.
No. To organize one. There's a whole episode in that, but I was quoted $10,000 for a comedian who is very.
Fred Armisen.
No. $10,000. And I said to their agent, I just said this is a charity thing. And she's like, no, $10,000for her to come.
That is the charity. Meaning like they probably get more. They're doing it for $10,000.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Normally I'd do $20,000.
I'm like, I don't know what planet you live on where you get $10,000 for a day's work.
Fucking, is this a well-known comedian?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, if you were to hire a singer or a band to perform, you're going to pay $50,000 or something crazy.
Unbelievable. Anyway, what was your question?
What's Armisen's connection to the Lincoln Lodge?
He did that Venezuelan drummer called Ferrocito at an early festival show.
Yeah, he did. That's the one I'm talking about. He was in the Chicago Comedy Festival.
Yeah, Lincoln Lodge.
Well, he was in the show, The Bible School. Doing Ferris.
Well, he was also at the Lincoln Lodge.
He was. I never got that. Ferrisito is stupid. You know, I like Fred Armisen. I think he's great.
Well, anyway,
some of that his early act was shite.
Some lady in the audience yelled at him for not doing a Peoria accent during his
tour.
Right, but she would not get off it. She clearly had taken advantage of the open bar a little bit.
Yeah.
And she was just laying into him as he's really? Just kind of like, and he was being very nice about it. He's like, okay, sure, it's a deal. And every single person in the audience just mouth agape, staring at her.
Shut up.
Right. Everybody felt embarrassed. They weren't even speaking.
Well, look at you. You got a whole nother life, too.
Oh, yeah. You know.
You and him. I am what you see. I don't go to anything high end like that.
I don't go to high end.
You produce TV shows. He goes to high end galas. Mm-hmm. Just home watching that Gacy show. You ever seen that? It's great. You got to watch it. It's great. The guy that plays it
John
is great.
John Travolta.
What? No, Gacy. John Gacy. What the fuck are you talking about, John?
I thought Travolta played him.
He did? In a different version of it? No. This is Michael Chernus.
Oh, no, Gotti he played.
Oh, Gotti, yeah. It's a different story. Both Johns won, but it's a different story. Yeah.
What minutes are we at?
We are at 55.
Oh.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Crossing to 56. How,
well, and we'll do our reviews, because this could be a good thumbs up. You give it. What's our rating scale for this?
How many ass?
Yeah, how many screams?
Yeah, but what I was thinking about you at the very end. He gets behind the piano. I thought the show was over, but then he goes behind the piano and he's got some chops. He can play the piano a little bit, right? Oh, you didn't see this. You're looking at me like I'm a ghost.
I missed all of this.
Oh my God, he sits down at the piano at the end.
Yeah, he's tinkling the
He didn't watch this at all.
Well.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
He's very good at pretending
he saw
something.
I told you I didn't watch it. I listened to it.
Well, you didn't listen to it either.
Oh, see, maybe you thought someone else was playing the piano.
I think, yeah.
While he was doing more misogyny.
I wonder if I'd even... I wonder.
That was the... That, to me, like... He just got done kicking gays and then he did some necrophilia work. And then he gets behind the piano and plays, you know, a little prelude, shows he can play the piano. And then it's maybe one or two lines of lyric. And it's basically, you fucking whore! Screaming at it. I don't know who he was.
None of this rings
some woman,
bell.
His wife or his last girlfriend, fucking whore. Screaming into the microphone, and that was it. And then a little outro from his mom saying she's proud of him.
Yeah.
For doing what he loves. For doing what he loves. And then in the Corvette. X-Rev.
Oh, man.
Pretty great. Okay. So we're here to say Sam Kinison, 1987, Breaking the Rules.
Yeah, out of...
Groundbreaking the Rules.
Groundbreaking the Rules.
Did you enjoy it? How many... I can't do it. Do you give it? And you have to do that.
Oh, no. I give it 3.5.
Do it. 3.5 out of 4?
Oh, out of 4. I was going out of 5.
Okay.
If we're going out of 4... I give it an even 3. Ah! Oh, Jesus Christ, that's terrible.
It sounded like Kermit the Frog yelling. All right, Mark, he gives it 3.5 out of 5.
No,
Kermit the Frog.
I give it 3 out of 4.
Screeches.
Screams. Yeah.
Let's see what you got.
Well, I give it a. I give it 1.
Not even a scream. You didn't like this.
No, and I'm like I say, I'm Hicks. I'm a Hicks disciple, and I fully expected to.
He
like
begat
it.
Hicks.
Yeah, and yet here I am. There's all of my comments weak.
Yeah,
it was going to get less screams out of me until you both
Christian
told,
loves this
until you told me that he played the piano at the end and took off the Corvette. I didn't know about any of that.
Yeah,
and that completely changed my
mind.
I
mean, who's got the fucking balls to stand there on stage and do a bit about women getting fat after getting married, and you look like Sam Kinison?
Well, the 5 to 7 pounds a year trick.
Not even fucking like. Not even. He didn't even end the joke with a. And I can say that because I'm a big fan.
He's not self-deprecating at all.
No, it just does it with no commentary towards his own thing.
Jeez. Yeah, and I was disappointed too. Like, he's going to teach us how to give cunnilingus because I'm always looking for pointers in that department, right? And all the way after 15 minutes, it's just say the alphabet while doing cunnilingus. That's not going to work.
No, that doesn't work.
I don't know. I'll try it, but I don't think it's going to work. I don't love Sam Kinison, his act, his material, his persona as much as Christian loves him. You know, Christian loves him.
He's my favorite comedian.
One of Christian's favorite comedians. But I will recognize he is a unique brand, a singular performer in many ways. Opened the door to the Bad Boys of comedy.
And you went piling through it.
Yeah, that I jumped on that bandwagon. So I will give him 2. Those 3.
Yeah.
2 of those. 2. 2 out of 5. 2 out of 4. I'll give it 2 out of 4. You give it 3.5 out of 5. And you give it 1 weak, whimpering.
Out
of to be decided. I think that says it all.
So that means it's special then, because you two.
I gave it
endorsed.
A 2 out of 4. That's like a no vote. Christian loves it. It's
so it's not special.
It's
favorite,
a push.
Favorite one
it's
so far.
Not. It's yeah. It's his favorite one. Before.
I'm kind of stealing your bit though. I can't do that. You've got the bit about.
No,
he's
I'm not.
He's
yeah.
The best working comedian.
No, he's not the best. Yeah. He's not the best. He's interesting. He's an interesting guy. I'm into it, but yeah. All right, next week we'll be reviewing. Well, next week's show might also be 2024's best of show.
Oh yeah,
which we'll announce our the best and worst of. Yeah, but next week who's our next comedian?
Next week we are going to do Joan Rivers.
Oh my!
Yeah.
Oh.
Stuck in
now you're now you're good. He's good. I like his choices.
I was really torn between. So there's not really a. It's surprisingly enough, there's not an easy to find our, well, just a Joan Rivers special online anywhere. It's all clips, you know, like clips of her on the Johnny Carson show, etc. You know, and so, but I was able to find two of them on YouTube. One is 2006, one is 1984, and they both have the same title. They're both called An Audience with Joan Rivers, which seems to be she's basically doing crowd work the whole time. Like she's sitting up there on stage, she does her act. Ugh. Then she takes questions and she riffs on that for a while.
Oh, it's like Bat Rife.
No, these aren't special. These are English.
The one is what? In England. Yeah, the 1984 one at least. I don't know about the 2006 one, but
they did a whole series of an audience with, and all the people asking the questions are celebrities. But you don't probably know that because
that's
English
why they said their name in the beginning. Yeah. All right. So I only watched like the first. You know, I kind of watched it for a minute to make sure it wasn't bullshit. You know, and that it was a decent video to pick, but
they were big things. Like they did one with Peter Ustinov, they did one with Dame Edna Everage.
Ugh.
They did like anyone who's like a raconteur.
Yeah, okay.
They did an audience with.
Well, the 1984 one, it seems like she's doing a lot of her act. Like she's using the questions to springboard her, like doing
about Edgar,
going into jokes, right?
Her husband,
she was
comic
huge,
foil,
huge in England.
Really?
That's ultimately that's the one that I picked. Ultimately, however, I did watch the first 2 minutes of the 2006 one, and it had me laughing pretty hard. So I'm going to watch both of them. So
wait a minute, what are we doing?
We're doing the 1984 one. That's the official one. But if you feel like it, watch the 2006 one too.
A Joan Rivers two-parter.
Not necessarily. You only have to watch one part. But if you are so inclined and you would like to discuss anything of the second part. I all have knowledge on it.
They're probably only half an hour each, I'm guessing.
I think like 43 minutes or something like that.
Yeah. Well, let's do them both.
Yeah, okay.
Two-parter. We only do that for the very best. Dave Chappelle and Joan Rivers.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Dave Chappelle one too. Yeah, because it'd be kind of interesting to see how she changed over the course of that.
I don't think she changed
years.
At all, but yeah.
Right. right. Or how much she didn't change.
Didn't.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That'll be fun. Joan Rivers would be fun.
God, she was huge. She was like a god. She came to England and no one had seen anything like her because she was just yapping off unfettered at people.
Yeah. For a woman at that time, I mean, it's, to be like that.
And then she became, you know, the hot shit chat show person because people lining up to get, like, reamed by her.
Well, save this for next week's program.
All right.
Jeez, you're going into deep analysis.
We don't have to do next week now.
Why? Because
we just did it.
Yeah, all right, we're done.
Yeah, okay.
You already reviewed it. Big in England. Unfettered.
That was the shortest
episode.
Can
we talk?
Can we talk? Can we talk? All right. Save it for the show.
All right?
Yep.
All right. All right.